Let us look to the Lord this morning. Let us look to the Word of God. I am preaching this morning just for a few minutes, and I apologize. It is Psalm 116, not 117. It is 116. In just a few verses in your hearing, I see that you all are engaged in a study on listening, speaking, and acting, and I want to look at Psalm 116 this morning. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It reads, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, and my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation. I want to preach briefly this morning from the thought, the ministry of listening. The ministry of listening. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for this hour of worship, all that our eyes have seen, all that our ears have heard, and most of all, oh God, what our hearts have felt. We ask, oh God, in the beginning of a new month, in the beginning of a new season of ministry, of discipleship, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would be all that you have called us to be. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. The ministry of listening. Has anyone ever told you that you don't listen? Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's someone that you work with. They just don't listen. It could be a child, it could be a spouse, it could be a sibling, maybe just a coworker. What I'm talking about this morning is not a problem with hearing, but with a problem with listening. When I was a child, my mother's here, when I was a child, I was always told that I had a problem listening, that I need to learn how to listen. And the truth of the matter is that we live in a society in which it is becoming harder and harder by the day to listen. Our entire society is getting worse at listening. Do you ever find yourself in the middle of a conversation and you realize that halfway through the conversation, you don't know what is going on? I mean, you're on the phone and you just checked out a long time ago. You're at lunch, you're at dinner at a restaurant, and you checked out 5 minutes ago. You have no clue what's going on. Some folks don't listen. They listen just enough to figure out when they can throw their two cents into the conversation. What about the people who ask you how you're doing, and before you can even respond, they keep continuing on with the conversation? We don't know how to listen. We spend so much time on tablets and screens and on computers skimming through articles that we are losing the art of listening. We listen just to get enough information, just to hear 3 points and to go home. But the problem of listening is not cultural alone. It is also sometimes even spiritual. That many people struggle in their personal prayer lives with learning how to listen for the voice of God. And I know this to be clear because it's one of the top 10 questions that I receive as a minister. How can I be sure that I am hearing from God? I am praying 10 minutes in the morning, and then I get up out and go about my way, and I don't hear God speak back to me. You know, it's easy to hear God's voice in worship when you have a beautiful praise and worship team, when you hear the melodious sounds of the pianist and you hear preaching from Pastor Willa. But many of us struggle when we get home trying to figure out, where is the voice of God when I'm trying to hear from God? I know this because it's probably one of the issues that many of us go through. And I will always tell some folks that saying amen at the end of a prayer is not licking the stamp and sending your prayer to God. As a kid, I was taught that at the end of prayer, you had to say amen, because that licked the envelope and that put the stamp on it and made sure it got to God. But prayer does not end with amen. Prayer is not a routine. Prayer is a lifestyle. It is an orientation that each and every day, in any moment of life, God can speak to me. That I might pray early in the morning, and it's not until the afternoon that God finally gives me an answer. And many of us know that you can pray for the same thing for years, and you may not get an answer right away. And oftentimes, I would submit to you, Greenwood, that the answer to our prayers, the guidance that we are looking for, the strength that we need, the inspiration that we're dying for, doesn't come from sitting in a room by yourself. It comes from living together with other people. This is why fellowship is so important. Somewhere Paul said, don't forsake the fellowship of the brothers and the sisters, because there's something that happens in worship. Christianity was not designed to be lived out in silos, but in community. Jesus could have done ministry by himself, but he decided to call 12, not just to have helpers, but to have friends, to have community. And it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who first said these words about the ministry of listening in his book, Life Together, which I would commend to anyone, especially to those who are beginning in ministry. Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Germany who studied at Union Theological Seminary, and on the weekends he taught Sunday school and went to worship at Abyssinian. And after a year of studying at Union, he decided to go back to Germany. God had called him to ministry in Germany, where he called for the assassination of Adolf Hitler and was killed. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who said these words. He said, Christians, especially ministers and preachers, so often think that they must always contribute something when they are in the company of others, as if speaking is the one service they have to render. They forget that listening can be a greater service than speaking. Many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find it among Christians, because these Christians are talking where they should be listening. These Christians are talking where they should be listening. Bonhoeffer was a pastor, but he realized that the first responsibility of a church body, of the body of Christ, as a witness and as disciples, isn't speaking. The first step of evangelism is actually listening to the people that we are serving, the people who we are trying to reach. There's nothing worse than a person who professes to love and care about you so much, but they won't take time to actually listen to you when you are speaking. Ouch. You say ouch. You don't have to say amen. Just say ouch. How could you be so concerned about my soul and where I will spend eternity, but you won't take the time to actually get to know me for who I am? I heard a pastor and a professor once tell a story about traveling out of town and coming home and trying to pick up groceries. He's picking up groceries, trying to get home as fast as possible, and there is a woman who was in the line in front of him who was trying to negotiate between money and coupons, trying to find out how she's going to put food on the table with the little money that she has. He was a professor of pastoral care, and he got so frustrated that he yelled at the cashier and said, "I'll pay for it." Pulled out his card, paid for this woman's groceries, and walked out. And the woman whose groceries he paid for never said thank you. So the cashier said, there's no way I'm going to allow you to be so disrespectful to someone who volunteered to pay for your groceries. She says, he paid for my groceries, but he never spoke to me. And at the heart of the message is that even those who are in the dire need of poverty, those who are hungry, all deserve dignity and humanity to be acknowledged. What people really want is to know that there's someone who is listening. And the truth of the matter is that many people really want just to be heard. The starting point of evangelism, as we come to the communion table this morning, the starting point of discipleship is not speaking, it is listening. And as disciples, we have to remember that we have been commissioned by God, who is a great listener. Psalm 116. When I was growing up in Brooklyn, not too far from here, I used to play for a lot of churches. And many of these churches would begin their services, the revival services, with what was called devotion, somewhat like praise and worship. And at that time, the deacons would get to the front of the church and open up the floor for devotion. There might be one who had a testimony to tell people of how God has been good to them, what they've been struggling with. And it was in devotion time, it was during testimony time, that people would often stand up to tell us that they were battling some ailing disease, that they were fighting with a loved one, that they were trying to find out how they were going to manage finding a job. They would open their hearts up to let you know that they've been dealing with, as we would say, some situations or some circumstances. And I know those are vague words, but when someone says they're in a situation, somehow we just know what it's all about. Psalm 116 was an old form of a testimony from the temple. And this psalmist is telling us that he was in, or she was in, some death-dealing situation. They were seeking to rise no more. And the psalmist got up in a temple and said, I love the Lord, for he heard my cry. And we don't know the details of what the psalmist was going through. And the truth of the matter is, in order to pray for someone, you don't have to know all of the details. You know, you don't have to tell everything. We don't know what was going on in the psalmist's life, but he says that I was in a death-wrenching situation. I was in a deep situation, and I was crying out, and I needed help, and God heard me. And because, this is good logic, and because God heard me, that's why I love God. Truth of the matter is, all death, as Du Bois said in The Souls of Black Folk, all death is not physical. And in the Hebrew Bible, oftentimes when they talked about death, it wasn't a physical death. It was the fact that I was in a situation in which the fullness of life was no longer an option. I was cut off from living a full and abundant life. Does anybody know what it's like to be alive, but still in a death-wrenching situation? The loss of a loved one? A diagnosis from the doctor that did not go the way you wanted to go. Sometimes an eviction notice. Sometimes problems on the job. He says, I was in a death-wrenching situation. Du Bois said, all death is not physical. It was Ralph Ellison who talked about being invisible, that sometimes the fact of being invisible makes someone feel dead. And the psalmist emerges out of this experience and says that I was in a death situation and God heard my voice. And when God heard my voice, it brought me back to life. I'm in a situation, and when you hear me, it brings me back to life. That listening is not so much about getting more information. It's that when I am able to hear you, it brings me back to life. I love the Lord because he heard my cry. And because he turned his ear to me, I will call upon his name as long as I live. The starting place of love is listening. The starting place of love is listening. How how good is it to know that the God who put the stars in the sky, who hung the sun and the moon, cared enough about me not to just give me a word, but cared about me enough to give me an ear? If God could take time to incline his ear to me, then what's my excuse for not listening to other people? Because listening restores each and every one of us back to life. At our church this week, we had an Exodus graduation for men and women who have now returned home from prison, men and women. And one of the moving moments of our graduation with them is to see them talk about the fact of coming home, big grown men with a grill. Hearing these men say, you know, when I came out of prison, I was angry. I was upset. He says, and coming here, I'm not just walking away with a diploma or a certificate. I'm walking away now with a smile. That I know I have situations that I have to deal with navigating life outside of prison, but I came to your church week after week. You gave me dinner. You gave me encouragement. And I'm walking out with a smile because you heard my story. But as I close, what I love about this psalm is that the psalmist gets up and testifies about how God heard him when he was down and out. And then he gets to the end. He says, well, what shall I render to the Lord? What should I give back to God because God heard me? What do I go? Can I go downtown and give God a gift? Maybe I'll go to Saks Fifth Avenue and give God a nice gift. But what can I give back to God because God heard me? And the psalmist says that I'm going to lift up the cup of salvation. Now, I'm in a Baptist church, so I don't know if you all know what it means to lift up a cup. You know what I'm talking about. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. This is a Passover psalm. This was a psalm that was sung during the annual Passover. And because God heard me when I was out in death, when I was in bondage, I'm going to lift up my cup of salvation in the temple. And we're coming to the communion table in a few minutes. But I want you to consider, as we take of the body and the blood, which was a Passover celebration, that when we lift up that cup, wine, juice, it is symbolic of us celebrating that we have been delivered by a God who heard us when we were in bondage. It is a celebration of a God who still speaks to us out of eternity. And as we lift up that cup of salvation, that blood, it still tells us that the blood still cries out for us. And if God was able to hear me when I was crying out, what shall I render back to God? The best gift we have to render back to God this morning is to be a good listener for somebody else. Every now and again, we come across people day in and day out who are crying out, I wish somebody would listen to me. Smiling, I wish somebody can see behind the smile. I wish somebody can see beyond the success to see me crying out, what shall I render unto God? That I want to be a listening ear for God. That in my work in ministry and evangelism and winning more souls for Christ, I want to be able to be a listening ear for somebody. And the celebration this morning is that 116th song, I Love the Lord, He Heard My Cry. One of the old songs that many of our ancestors lifted up during slavery and lined it on out. Somebody from the South would know about the old meter hymn. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. And the beauty of it this morning is that we join in a long chorus of people who have been singing that same song for thousands of years. The prodigal son sang that song. I love the Lord and he heard my cry. The woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, is in that choir. The father who brought his son to Jesus to be healed sang that song. Slaves gathered in the hush arbors of slavery sang the same song. And when we put our cups in the air this morning, we lift them to Jesus. I will lift up the cup of salvation because he heard my voice. He heard my voice and he brought me back to life. What shall I render unto God? I shall be a listening ear to someone else through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen.